And welcome back to the Florida Roundup. I'm Luis Hernandez here on WLRN. Thank you so much for listening today. It's been impossible to find something positive to report on the conditions of Venezuela. This week, that news just went from disheartening to strange. On Tuesday, a stolen police helicopter circled the nation's Supreme Court in Caracas. Shots were fired from the copter. They even lobbed grenades. This is what was reported, though no one was hurt. The copter was later found, but officials say they are hunting down this man who was flying it. The man's name is Oscar Lopez. Here he is in a video.
Perez.
Here he is in a video wearing what appears to be paramilitary fatigues. Four men are standing behind him. They're in military garb, brandishing automatic weapons.
Venezolanos, queridos hermanos, les hablamos de parte del Estado. Somos una coalición entre funcionarios militares, policiales y civiles.
All right. President Nicolas Maduro called the attack an attempted coup the day before. The Venezuelan president had been talking about this, the potential of an attack. Who is this guy, this Oscar Perez, and how has this impacted the tens of thousands of people protesting the government? We want to hear your thoughts, especially if you've got family back in Venezuela. What do you think about what's going on here, and what should we make of this? 800-743-9576. Joining me in studio, Tim Padgett, WLRN's America's editor. I misspoke on that, Tim. Thank you so much for correcting me on that. Also joining me is Andrew Rosati. He's the Bloomberg's economy and government reporter in Venezuela. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hi, pleasure to be here.
All right. Tim, help me make sense of what's going on. The helicopter, there was video online of a helicopter flying around. We heard explosions. Then this guy disappears. There's this strange video of him making these demands for the ouster of President Maduro. What am I supposed to make of this?
A lot of us who cover Venezuela are asking the same thing, and I'm sure Andy would agree. As you so aptly pointed out, Venezuela went from tragic to bizarre this week, and we're all trying to figure out just who is this guy, Oscar Perez, and what really motivated him to do this. On the one hand, according to his video, he's an insurrectionist. You know, he's calling on Venezuelans to rise up against this.
Is he a cop?
He is a policeman. He's an officer in the Venezuelan investigative police force. On the other hand, you've got a lot of Venezuelans, though, who are wondering, well, was this staged by President Maduro in order to give the president a pretext for cracking down on these massive demonstrations?
There's another weird twist to this guy, Oscar. Is he an actor or he acted in a movie?
He acted in a 2015 movie called Muerte Suspendida, Suspended Death. And in it, he essentially plays himself. He pilots a helicopter. He's a heroic action hero thwarting a ransom kidnapping. And part of the reason, according to an interview that he gave not so long ago, that he wanted to do that movie was because in his role as a police officer, he often went to speak to school kids in poor neighborhoods in Caracas. And one of them had mentioned to him that, no, he didn't want to be a police officer. He wanted to be a PRAN. Now, PRAN is slang in Venezuela for a gang leader. And he said because being a PRAN in Venezuela would make you a lot richer, a lot more successful with the ladies, et cetera, et cetera. And so he decided, no, I've got to do something to elevate the image of a Venezuelan policeman. And so he helped make this movie back in 2015. Now, so a lot of people are thinking, well, was what he did on Tuesday then just sort of a delusional action hero movie fantasy of his? We don't know. I mean, this guy, he hasn't been found yet. I would ask Andrew then, Andrew, what are you hearing about the profile of this guy?
What are they saying about him?
I mean, the man is a mystery to many Venezuelans here. I think one of the things that people, not just people on the street I talk to, but reporters and in the opposition here are all point to is this bizarre Instagram account this character has. He went from about 16,000 followers to about 270,000 followers in a day when news of this broke. And when you look at the post, it's almost as if they were glamour shots of the man. You see him scuba diving, riding horses, holding automatic weapons, he's with canine units, and he's solving crimes and posing on the red carpet. So this, the quote, one of the first people who came out and said something was the head of the National Assembly here, and it's like this is literally like something coming out of a movie. And there's a lot of doubt swirling here because in Caracas there is there's an air base in eastern Caracas, and in one of the state's boarding the capital, there's another major airbase. So this idea that a chopper was stolen, circled around downtown Caracas, and then literally flew off into the sunset, and it took them 24 hours to find it, has caused a lot of doubts here about the authenticity of the government's claim.
You know what, Andrew, let me start with you on this one. I want to get a sense from both of you. Am I hearing that people just think this is a farce, that it's not real, and it's not doing anything for protesters? They're not taking this as a launching point to something more. They're not looking to him as a hero of any kind.
It's. I mean, again, doubts are swirling here. I talked to people on the street yesterday. The opposition came out and denounced this very strongly. How is it possible that alleged coup happens one night, and then the streets are back to normal here? Yes, there are protests continuing. The protests have petered in recent weeks. This has been going on for over 3 months now. So, people are tired. In many regards, there's a lot of fatigue. There's a lot of frustration. But beyond those reasons, the other thing to all this is many people are saying to me that they think this is a diversion created by the government, a way to convince people to stay home or say that the people are taking new drastic measures against it. But at the same time, other people are a bit scared of all this idea that shots were fired in downtown Caracas. It's very troubling for a lot of Venezuelans.
And Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro is more than capable of coming up with some sort of concocting some sort of.
But is that what
ruse.
People believe that he started
a lot
this?
A lot of Venezuelans do. I'm not saying it's true, obviously, but this is when you look on social media in Venezuela, more. Then I would say a majority of Venezuelans in the opposition, at least, are suggesting that President Maduro, because he has so often in the past created sort of, delusional, fantastic ruses to scapegoat, this person or that person is trying to assassinate me or plot this coup. So unfortunately, that's why they believe this. There's one other wrinkle, though, I should mention about Oscar Perez that came out early this morning in El Nacional, one of Venezuela's largest dailies. The director of that film that we were just talking about, who was apparently a good friend of Oscar Perez's, mentioned that Perez had a brother killed about a week and a half ago in as he was being robbed of his cell phone. And this director suggested that this might have been one of the things that maybe made Perez snap, because like all Venezuelans, he probably had just reached a point of being fed up with the awful violent crime they have to deal with in that country.
You think about the timing, too, is what's coming up next month, I believe, right? The Constitutional Convention. And so,
right.
There's this fear that Maduro is going to be basically, he's going to just redirect the Constitution to give him absolute power. I wanted to get to this later, but it's hard not to after what I've been hearing. Is where is it right now? Where is everything right now? Is it just protest? Are we on the brink of a revolution, civil war? Is Maduro gaining more power? Is he weakening or strengthening?
Well, I mean, Andrew can speak to this better on the ground there, but I would just say quickly that it looks like Maduro, especially after the Organization of American States, which is essentially the UN of the Western Hemisphere, wasn't able to come up, get enough votes for a resolution to condemn Maduro and his trashing of Venezuela's democracy a couple weeks ago. Because of that, I think he feels emboldened, and it looks like he is going to have success pushing through this rewrite of the Venezuelan Constitution to give him more powers. Is that your sense of things, Andy, as well?
Right. One of the things I always like to, I think it's important to point out for looking at the situation in Venezuela, yes, this wave of protests have been incredibly violent. A lot of people have pointed out the audacity of the Venezuelan opposition and how they've managed to keep them going for so long. And, I've been living in Venezuela for 5 years now, and at one point they had over a million people on the streets of the Caracas, and that's far more than I've ever seen in my time here. At the same time, this government has been in power for almost 20 years now, and this is not the first time unrest has happened. The government has repelled these type of protests before. But one of the things that's really worrying to me here on the ground, I think a lot of our attention is, diverted to these protests, but there is an increasing amount of looting and unrest in popular and poor sectors in the capital and around the country. Earlier Monday and into Tuesday, there was massive looting in the city of Maracay, which is about an hour and a half out from Caracas. And we're talking a huge swath of the city of Maracay, which is in the middle of the industrial belt, was literally breaking into pharmacies, private businesses, even some homes. And, you know, friends on the ground who went there to report, you know, described the scene as almost something you'd see out of Africa.
But isn't
people
this,
coming in.
Isn't this mostly
so my point? My point is with all this is what is really worrying to me with is not necessarily the protests themselves, but the situation and the violence that are coming out of popular sectors that are, you know, we're seeing an increasing amount of looting and violence that in areas where we haven't seen before. And this is, to me, is a real wild card of what's going to happen. I don't know how the government plans to contain this. And in certain parts in the interior of the country, they've struggled to do so.
And just quickly, that's mixed news for the opposition, because on the one hand, it doesn't do the opposition any favor when you see protesters looting and doing those sort of things. But on the other hand, as Andy just pointed out, you're seeing protests now in areas, particularly poorer areas, that used to be the base of Maduro and the socialists. You're seeing them come out and demonstrate now for the first time. And that actually could be a help to the opposition.
All right, 800-743-9576. Again, we'd love to hear your thoughts. You know, really, have we reached a tipping point yet? What comes next? I want to go over to Jack in Weston. Jack, welcome to the program.
Yes.
Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, we need help. Venezuela needs help. The people and the students have no weapons. They always manifest without any weapon pacifically. I don't want to comment about this airplane thing or this helicopter, because it doesn't make any sense. Now, Venezuelan government is a narco state. They've been backed up by Russia, by China, by Cuba, and by Iran. So it's very difficult for the people to rebel. Almost 90% of the people are against Maduro. But Maduro, as sadly you commented a few minutes ago, he is going to consolidate power, and he's going to be in power for a long time. And the only way we can get help is that the United States help us, or the OAS. The OAS wasn't even capable of arriving at a conclusion that the government is bad, is corrupt, is narco trafficking.
Okay,
it's unbelievable.
Jack, there are two things. Jack, thank you so much. I appreciate the call. You brought up two good things I want to ask about real quickly. All right, so first of all, because you had mentioned about Maduro gaining more power, it goes back to what I asked you earlier. Election coming up next year. What do you see happening, Tim?
Well, election supposedly coming up Elections next year. No one really believes that Maduro is going to allow it to be held, because if it were to be held, he would almost certainly lose, as Jack just pointed out. I mean, more than 80% of the population wants to see him out of office. My question to Jack would be, Jack, what do you suggest the United States do? Oh, I'm sorry. He's left us. Okay. But I think he raises a question. What can the United States do at this point?
But no discussion from this administration right now about Venezuela. I haven't heard anything about Venezuela.
Well, only targeted sanctions. For example, the vice president a few months ago was sanctioned quite heavily and charged with alleged drug trafficking. So we're seeing targeted sanctions. The big question is, will the Trump administration make the big leap and say, for example, stop importing Venezuelan oil? I would ask Andrew, there on the ground, is that seem like more likely to people these days?
You know, I was in D.C. last month, and I was talking to a lot of policymakers, some of the senators that sponsored the recent Venezuelan sanctions bill. I spoke to some senior officials at the State Department, and you know, no one that I spoke with was keen on a economy-wide or a sector-specific sanctions. In the sense that, the sense that I got to talking to people on the Hill and the State Department is that they feel the Venezuelan people have suffered enough. And I can tell you from being on the ground here, there is a huge amount of suffering going on. People are skipping meals. People are picking food from the trash. You know, it's not necessarily the fact that, you know, there isn't food available per se, but in the sense that you can't find anything to eat, but rather prices have spiraled so much here that the government hasn't released statistics, but it's inflation as well in the triple digits. The people simply don't have enough money to make ends meet.
And here's one other concern I've heard from Washington as well, is that these kinds of sanctions, like, you know, embargo style sanctions, the concern is, we tried this half a century ago with Cuba, didn't work.
Here's the, you know, I wanted to get to this. I found this fascinating because you mentioned Cuba, and I was going to say that we're seeing more and more Venezuelans now obviously leaving the country, many coming to the United States. I believe that the last statistic that I found was that the number of Venezuelans seeking asylum had jumped by 160%. That's from the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Mm-hmm. So they're going to go to a lot of different places. They're going to come to the United States. Do you think we're going to see, in this era right now, Venezuelans becoming what Cubans were many decades ago, that they're going to just be coming out in droves to escape as Cubans did?
Some would suggest that it's already happened, as we pointed out in a report we aired this week. We're seeing more and more immigrants coming to Venezuela are not the educated, affluent type that we've seen for so many years. Now we are seeing the poorer, more desperate, and more destitute immigrant coming. They've got tourist visas that maybe they got a few years ago. They've scraped every, you know, bolivar that they could together to make the flight here. And in fact, one of the people I talked to this week said what you're seeing is what he termed balseros by air, or Cuban rafters coming by air instead of by sea. And again, Andrew, I think you would maybe agree that, you know, we are seeing a lot more poor Venezuelans trying to make the trek out.
Right, and I think, you know, I think we have to look beyond Miami, and no offense to the station or our listeners, but, you know, if you look at what's happening in Colombia, along the Colombian border and the Brazilian border, you know, the Colombian government has said they have prepared contingency plans, like if this unrest spirals and things, you know, if chaos would ensue, of over a million Venezuelans pouring in across the Colombian border. And we're already seeing large communities of Venezuelans pop up on the Brazilian border. And these are people living in tents. There's been some reports out of NPR that have categorized and, talked to a lot of people literally sleeping on the streets there. And these are people already going across. Another interesting anecdote I found out recently is there's now a bus line that's been come up in Caracas that takes people to Chile. Now, because, well, you can't get flights there anymore. And because you're looking at the money that Venezuelans have available to migrate, you know, people are going with a few hundred dollars in their pockets to get out of here. So the fact that a bus line would pop up kind of shows the situation we are in now.
Andrew Rosati is a Bloomberg economy and government reporter in Venezuela. Tim Padgett is WLRN's America's editor. Gentlemen, I really appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up next, there's a unique relationship between the NOAA fisheries and the University of Miami, but that could come to an end. And what would that mean for us here in South Florida? We'll find out. Coming up next on the Florida Roundup here on WLRN.